Welcome back, the Love Boat Project, episode 19. Ahoy, Mike. How are you today?
About to make our 20s, our last teenage episode.
It was wild when I said 19. I kind of froze for a second because I just was like, wow, episode 20 right around the corner.
We're coming to the end of the season, which is crazy.
We just started. Yeah.
So many.
It's a big
episode this week. We have two Taylors on one podcast. It's amazing.
Can't handle that much. That's too much.
Like New York in 1908.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Multiple Taylors in the same spot.
So please welcome my brother, one and only Chris Taylor, to Love Boat Project.
Thank you for having me. Welcome aboard, Chris. Thank you.
Have you ever been on a cruise? We ask everyone the same question.
Yes.
You have?
Ooh. I have. That was my senior trip. I was 18. That was 2002. Oh, so long ago. It was Carnival Cruise, and we did a five-day to Nassau, Bahamas for our senior trip, and never been on a cruise before that.
How was the food?
It was all right. It wasn't anything like spectacular. It was all buffet food. But when you're 18 and, you know, waking up in the afternoon and they're like, here's a full buffet with like burgers and just, you know, whatever. It's kind of nice.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, that makes more sense than like prime rib and all the fancy pants stuff they have on these boats.
We don't need that
in the show.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Golden Corral on water. That's kind of like what it was like. You know?
See, I'd sign up for that. That's the first good cruise ad I've heard. This whole season.
Yeah, the only bad thing I remember was they, you didn't pay cash for anything. They gave you like it was your hotel room key card almost. And smart. I was 18, and I was like, "What do we do with this?" And like, use that to pay for everything. International waters, 18. You're allowed to drink. So I'm just, here's the card.
Wow.
And at the end of the cruise, they give you a receipt.
How much did they get you for?
Oh, the cruise, I remember this was, it was $1,200. So, you know, I saved up my money so I could go $1,200, 5 days. The worst room you could possibly have, but I didn't care. And
did you have a roommate or did you have a solo room?
Oh, I brought my girlfriend at the time.
Okay.
Who ended up getting sick and stayed in the room the entire time.
That's interesting. Went
one of my best friends, Logan. I played soccer with him. He's in the special forces now, still. And his girlfriend broke up with him on the cruise while they were same room and everything. So we spent the whole entire cruise with me and him just, you know, walking around, drinking, gambling, and just, you know, everything's gonna be okay, man. It was a rough day on the
sea. That will absolutely be a plot line.
In the
next season and a half.
Getting
dumped, but you're still on the boat. Oh,
so that's awkward. Well, do you want to stay in my room with my sick girlfriend?
No. Well, that's not only a few. We've had a few guests this season, and I would say less than half. Right in the end, we had Amin, who's been on a cruise.
Amin, Dan,
Beth.
Tanya, so 4 or 5 now. So yeah, 4 or 5. So
wow, okay,
yeah, we're getting up there.
All right,
on a good roll. Not your
good to know. Yeah, good to know. And maybe understand your frame of reference. So we are here to talk about the Love Boat season 1 episode 19. Computer Man, Parlez-vous, and Memories of You. The three stories of this episode. Here's a fun fact. This is a special episode. This episode aired on a Monday night at 10 p.m.
Really?
They just had an episode on the 11th on Saturday night, the one we just talked about.
Yeah.
Two nights later, an hour later, this was on.
But so that makes it February 13th. They didn't have the Valentine's Day episode special on the 14th. Right.
I think something was maybe Wednesday was a... Was that Dynasty? Maybe it was like a Dynasty. Who knows?
I think they were just trying to get people hyped up for Valentine's. It's like putting all your good stuff on Christmas Eve.
Well, can you imagine in a 7-day period there was 3 episodes of the Love Boat?
That's a lot of Love Boat.
I couldn't find the TV listings. It was driving me crazy. I couldn't get an accurate date. And I didn't know if it was because of the two-parter. And I just looked at it. I was like, wow. So a new thing I like to add is this IMDb rating. Because, Mike, now I'm obsessed with it now.
But we talked about it. It's not really going to vary for a while.
Nope. Just
confirm that.
Just to confirm whatever, you know, that judge is saying. It a 6.9.
That's pretty good.
That's a pretty good rating. That's why
I had a lot of 6.9s this season, I would say.
So let's just think about that.
Yeah. Well, okay, so frame of reference, that one we watched a couple weeks ago that was terrible was a 6.1.
Yeah.
I would say this is a full point better than that one. So yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
What's on TV? All right, so on that night at 10 p.m., this is uncharted territory. We never talk Monday, about Monday.
It's crazy. Monday in February is to be anything.
So CBS, 10 p.m., an hour-long episode of Lou Grant.
Ooh, oh.
Which?
The Mary Tyler Moore cast right. collide.
Right.
Right.
So that's interesting. NBC starting at 9 o'clock that night, a 2-hour special, King Part 2, with Cecily Tyson and Tony Bennett. It was like a television special. And it was the story of Dr. Martin Luther King stretching from his days as a Southern Baptist minister to his assassination.
Wait.
Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. In 1968.
Why is Tony Bennett listed?
What? Died. In King. Alive. He's singing about it. Sad, but singing.
Singing.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a biopic.
No. It was like a TV special. Yeah,
that'd be weird.
Yeah. Tony Bennett.
What do you mean?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, he played Dr. King. Tony Bennett played Dr. King.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, let me tell you something. This is fantastic. I got it. Let me tell you.
San Francisco. All right, let's talk about the synopsis of this episode. And again, for the record, the synopsis comes from the TV listing, the official TV listing, because we've had some wacky synopsis.
So this is what you would have seen Monday when you were perusing your TV guide.
Just flipping, because there's no
TV guide
TV channel. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like literal TV guide.
An inventor brings a matchmaking machine aboard. Okay.
Did he invent it?
He just says here, I don't know if he's an inventor.
He comments on the
Frankie. Yeah.
That's how
I was feeling. Frankie. Fortune seekers pretend to speak only French.
Yeah.
It's kind of vanilla.
I mean, that's not wrong. Yeah.
And an ad executive sees a long lost love.
Yeah. I mean, these are all technically true. Which, for the synopsis, is actually pretty good. So
they're being painted with the widest of all brushes, though. The boat is on water.
Synopsises that are just flat out wrong or misleading,
So we had to get some consistency because it was getting crazy. And I don't know. It's so weird. All right, so let's talk about some guest stars. Not everyone who appeared on this episode was listed.
Right.
Pre-porthole, as the list. I would like to get into a few of them. Let's get into the ones that weren't listed first. And that, obviously the one that came to mind was Shelley Long, who like she was playing a young Diane Chambers.
You can see the bones of Diane Chambers in there pretty quickly. So.
Absolutely.
But it was funny because... So no portals. She's obviously not listed in the credits anyway.
Well,
I went through the whole first act the first time I watched it. Didn't pick up what was her. I only realized that when I was trying to make sure that was Frankie Avalon. I quick went to my IMDb in between act 1 and 2 and saw Shelley Long, and then I realized it was her.
Shelley Long played one of those 3 women that were hooked up by the machine. She was Heather McKenzie. I just thought that was interesting. Georgianne LaPierre, again, she played Betsy Carruthers. The only reason I bring her up, she was previously the married.
The camera.
Yeah. Previously married to Michael Madsen. I thought that was interesting.
The actor?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of Mark Madsen, the basketball player. Completely different guy.
Oh, I'm thinking of Mark Madden, the Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Let's bring up some of the big ones. I have mostly just little tidbits on everyone except for Patty Duke. Patty Duke Aston, I should say. I was just looking in research, and man, I saw something terrible. So, you know, she's the standard. She won an Academy Award for playing Helen Keller, and I'm talking about Lily, right? In the show. So she won an Oscar. She won 2 Golden Globes, 3 Primetime Emmy Awards. She played identical cousins on the Patty Duke show. Okay, that's the good news. Let's get to it. When Duke was 6, her mother forced her father to leave the family home. When Duke was 8, her care was turned over to talent managers John and Ethel Ross, who, after promoting Patty's brother, were looking for a girl to add to their stable of child actors.
That's a choice word.
The Ross's method of managing Duke's career were unscrupulous and exploitive. Sorry. They billed Duke as being 2 years younger than she actually was and padded her resume with false credits. They gave her alcohol and prescription drugs, took unreasonably high fees, and made sexual advances towards her. She never saw her father and saw her mother only when she visited to do the Ross's laundry. In addition, the Ross's made Duke change her name by saying, "Anna Marie is dead. You're Patty now." They took her name and gave her a new name, and just like this weird child actor, she seemed pretty normal to me. You know what I mean? Patty's okay, right?
She also is back.
Yeah.
I'm glancing over that stuff because there's nothing I can say about that. It's a little
terrible. No, I'm just like, oh, so sad. All right, let's move on.
But you realize that this is she's a returning champion.
She is a returning champion. Because remember, back. It was always a story that she couldn't do with the yeah.
We had we had 1 week in between, but this is our third returning guest in 4 weeks. So
Wow. I wonder acting she's been doing, you know, she started young.
I wonder if it was a money
thing. You won't see us doing that in the season.
No. We will never do that. Frankie Avalon, Philadelphia's own. 54 years of TV. What's is there something you would like to address here?
I did not care for Mr. Avalon in this episode. Maybe I wasn't supposed to, but
in general or just specifically in this episode?
In this episode, I have no qualms with Frankie Avalon one way or the other. So me and him haven't crossed paths.
All right, fair enough. Barbie Benton as Brigitte LeBlanc appeared on the cover of Playboy 4 times. She was a 4-season regular on Hee Haw.
Really?
Yeah. Probably not a speaking role. Yeah. She. That's funny.
She just reminds me of like.
I looked her up on IMDb. There's one picture of like her and some other bombshell of the 70s. I can't remember who.
Like Brigitte Bardot or something.
And Hugh Hefner. So it was just a weird picture. It's on there. So
there was some. Yeah, I guess he was like madly in love with her, you know, but I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not
mad at
her. She
looks like Megan Fox's grandmother. Like,
oh, yes.
Yeah, she does. She looks a lot like her.
Her nose is so nice. It looks like one of the newer noses that's nice, but there was no technology then. Like yeah, that's just exist. A natural nose. It just, that's the craziest part of the whole thing.
Do you think her and Yvonne were supposed to be of a similar age? Because I thought Yvonne was her mom.
That's optimistic. I don't think Yvonne thought that was unrealistic. I think she was like, Jamie Farr, another MASH cast member. How many is that now? 3 or 4.
Swit.
Radar.
Radar. Is that it? 3?
That's 3. You know, he played, I don't want to say obviously, but he played a character named Corporal Maxwell Klinger on a TV show called MASH. interesting fact about that character. He was the first main character introduced on MASH, the TV show, not to have appeared in either the original novel or the movie. So he was the first original like TV character.
That's interesting.
I always liked Jamie. He was just so likable. He was on those old 70s game shows and he just seemed like a decent guy. Maybe he wasn't, but he was likable.
He always feels like he's playing himself too.
Yeah, he's not acting. He's not, it's weird.
He's not doing Hamlet out there.
No. And the last person is Ricky Nelson, of course. Ted Wilcox, Alex Fowler, huge star. placed 54 songs on the Billboard Hot 100 between 1957 and 1973. And Adventures of Ozzie of Harriet aired on ABC from 1952 to 1966. The longest running live action sitcom in U.S. television history until what show surpassed it in 2021? Any guesses?
Live action?
Yep.
It's Always Sunny.
Live action. Longest run. Yep. That's it. Yep. Always Sunny.
Yeah.
And they're still going. So interesting. Yeah. Rick Nelson was, I mean, a star. It's odd that they got him on this episode. I mean, that dude was a giant star.
Even then? In 1978? I wasn't sure.
Oh, I would definitely think so. I mean, the last song he had to be on the Hot 100, Billboard Hot 100, was in 73.
And that's years out. I don't know. I guess my question is, was he a star or was this the equivalent of having Desi Arnaz Jr. a couple weeks ago?
No, bigger than that. I bet you he's like doing a Vegas thing. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Playing the hits in a hotel. Like I can see that. But he's Vegas. Yeah, not Atlantic City, Vegas.
You know, not Bronson.
Yeah.
Branson.
Was that even a...
No, I don't think it was a thing then. Well, no, because didn't our boy Jim Stafford, didn't he have something somewhere in the Midwest?
That's right.
This was a very Jim Stafford-esque role.
That's a good call.
He was fine. Ricky Nelson was fine.
He was fine.
I'm glad he got two guitars in, but no singing.
Yeah, right?
Weird.
I got a lot that's stupid.
There's a lot of that. So I'm just excited. I am absolutely going to get to use a Nelson clip in a reel.
Oh, one of the
Gunner and
Love and Affection. That's a good one. Yeah,
I don't know any of them off the top of my head. I'm not as much of a Nelson fan as you, I guess. But
I had the tape back in the day. I'm sorry. All right. Anything to add before we hop on the boat? I'll take that.
I wish I was born 10 years older.
What's that?
I wish I was born like 10 years, past when I was, all these names and,
It's all readily available though. You know what I mean? You just go down a wormhole,
I am excited that the star of this whole production was not mentioned in your list, nor was he on the cast, nor can you really find anything about him. So looking forward to talking about that guy.
Who are you referring to?
Oh, we'll get to him when we get to him.
Danny Evans?
I have him written in all caps when he comes up on the show. So don't try and guess now. We'll get to it.
Okay. Well, now, I just want.
I mean, we'll get.
Well, there is one more. Well, I don't want to say it because if you say it, then I
don't even know his real name. I only know him by his character name. That's all that matters.
All right. All right. All right.
If you keep talking, you will find out who it is.
I know. I don't know what I'm doing. All right. This is a Valentine's cruise, which is interesting to me. Is that really what you want to do on a? And is this a shorter cruise?
Makes more sense than any of the theme cruises. The
Christmas one?
It's way more sense than the Christmas cruise.
How long is this cruise? Did they stop anywhere?
I think it's just 3 days. I think they don't seem to stop on those 3 dayers.
Mm-mm. They just go to a point and come back.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
So a cheery Captain Steubing, you see him, greets Julian Gopher, and he's excited for the Valentine's cruise. Again,
way too excited.
He has he has no professional bearing, this guy. He's wearing one of these stupid things. You know, just the whole
Did you catch that when he was pointing at his little heart?
Yeah.
What finger he was using? It wasn't this finger, and it wasn't this finger. He was giving the middle.
Oh,
3 minutes in, yeah.
Oh.
Well, that off the
we've established he's not good with saluting, so maybe his fingers are
two fingers. Yeah, maybe his fingers don't work.
Yeah, I think that's maybe it.
Julie obviously shares this excitement because nobody likes a boat full of single men more than Julie.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Good Lord. And reminds him that she hired a matchmaking computer to pair up singles seeking love. And immediately I'm like, oh boy, it's 1978. What's this thing going to look like? Beep, 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 beep.
So Steubing is, like I said, way too excited about this. And he's already like jumping the gun about it. But Julie frames it in this scene as an icebreaker, right? It's more of like, you're filling out cards and whatever. But then when we get to it, this is like an arranged marriage. This computer scooped up two names and you spend the whole cruise with them against your will for the most part. So,
well, only three couples.
Well, that we saw.
Yeah.
Everybody else was happy.
Then that it's computer like the original was spent. Yeah, right. It just... You had to write in all caps, like a huge.
That computer, I had so many ideas of what that computer was going to be. It delivered on exactly what I thought it was going to be.
So. Just hoping for more buttons and beep, 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 just light, like you'd find it in Adam West's Batcave. It was one of those kind of things. Spits out a card. Steubing says, do you have a card for me? To put in the, and I wrote, he has nothing to do. You have time to fill out a profile card. You're about to leave. You're the captain of the ship. We know how I feel about him, but it just makes no sense to me. Like, just look busy. We meet Heather McKenzie and her friend Penny Jacobs. They check in. They meet fellow passenger and love seeker Betsy Carruthers. Penny is the one, the redheaded.
I wrote them down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote the names down because I needed to keep them straight. So Betsy has the camera. Heather has the hat.
Shelley Long. Okay.
Penny has the hots.
Okay. Okay. Makes sense. Okay. Yeah. She was.
Penny was ready to go.
She didn't have time for food. She's like, dinner's a waste of time. Growl.
She couldn't even finish a sentence without trailing off onto some man.
She's going to rip that dude's mustache off at the end of this episode. Good Lord.
And that's the guy.
That's the guy.
So that's they look over and there's two guys. And here comes the third guy, the man with the mustache. Get Maxwell. That's the name in the show. So there's three guys, right? There's two guys originally talking and they're looking at him because the one guy's got a camera. So the camera girl's all hot to try. Yeah. And then Mustache comes over and it's Chet Maxwell. And he's
Chet
the third
Maxwell?
Man.
Yeah. The guy at the end where they said he didn't talk much.
Right. But he's like a man of action.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Chet Maxwell, written in all caps in every note I have about Chet Maxwell.
No kidding. Yeah, it's funny because I just.
Yeah, you were probably just overtaken by the sheer masculinity of that group.
I got a little scared.
He looked like Don Fry.
He did look a little like Don Fry. He had a fine stash. Well, one of those guys was on a show I used to like a lot. Lawrence Casey played Daryl Mattson. He was known for being on the show Rat Patrol. That's where I thought he might be going. Do you remember Rat Patrol?
I do not remember Rat Patrol. That
it's
must be
bad when you. It's bad when you don't remember it.
Is it Rat like RATT?
No, it was like British Army in Africa in the desert.
Oh,
it was a cool show. They had like dune buggy kind of things. They always wearing goggles.
Oh, like a Buckaroo Banzai.
It turns out I'm just a fan of goggles. It's weird. I don't even like war.
James Worthy in it. When they flash over to the three guys talking, it looks like every magazine ad for cigarettes or beer in the 80s. Like if you have an old Sports Illustrated and you pull it up and there's like Newport or Meisterbrow or just guys just sitting around the deck. That's what that looked like. Yeah. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Testosterone.
But you got to imagine that's just a small sample of, like, you know, 400, you know, sex crazed singles on a 3-day cruise to some point in the ocean and back. Anyway, Doc, oh boy, Doc approached a passenger named Lily. But Lily makes it clear she has zero interest in hooking up with him. She also said she had no idea that this was going to be a singles cruise.
Do you want to know my one small note is for Doc that I had?
Please.
Doc is a horn dog.
Yes.
That was the first.
I think that he heard the Doc signal from the horny girls down in the other side of the boat and then ran into Patty Duke. Like, I don't think he was even going that way, but he just got stopped. He was en route to Penny and just got stopped.
Oh, and it would have been.
That would have been a different show if he had gotten to Penny.
Yeah. Oh, that would, it's, you know, add a fourth story. Good Lord.
Man.
Doc asks if she'd like a tour of the ship. Just as she sees a man she knows and yells, Alex, starts rushing his way. He stares back at her blankly. And this is Ricky Nelson here. And says she has the wrong person. And she explains to Doc that the man looked exactly like someone she was once close to. And I wrote, Doc could care less.
It would have been funny if Doc would have been like, that's weird. You look like somebody I just met 13 episodes ago.
No kidding. That's wild. Here we go. Julie summons Gopher to get his translation assistance for two passengers. They only speak French. Didn't Julie live in Paris? Haven't we established that?
She spent 3 weeks in Paris. And I don't think old buddy, what's his name, was
picking her out. Letting her out of the house.
Yeah, I don't think she was getting out too much. Even know that she was really in France. Buddy just told her she was in France. But no, that was just 3 weeks.
She was out.
But she was an airline stewardess. Yeah. So. I do think this is a good idea. Mm. Mm-hmm. I feel like there should be some of the basic languages, right? Somebody on that boat should speak
on a cruise.
Makes Spanish, sense. French, maybe a little Japanese.
That's
Mexican.
Another thing.
Yeah,
with my cruise background knowledge, vast knowledge that I have, the one cruise, every one of the employees, the crew members, was from it had it on their name tag. I remember it had their name, and they would say Nigeria or Sweden. They were from everywhere.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, it's just customer service.
They probably don't have it on this boat because up until this episode, everyone's been from Los Angeles.
No help.
They just let's go for a lap.
Yeah.
Really?
I did do a deep dive. That Gopher, the actor Fred Grandy, I hope I'm saying that last name right, fluent in French.
How about that? So he was playing dumb.
He didn't mention that in the email he sent.
Yeah, Fred Grandy also fluent in catfishing your brother on Facebook.
Hook, line, and sinker. I'd do it all over again. I wouldn't change a thing. Fake Fred Grandy, whoever you really are.
Who's a fake Fred Grandy? Wow.
I don't know. If you're going to pick someone to be a fake, that's a hell of a pick. I bet he's got
Fred
multiple.
Grandy that then goes after this show.
Well, didn't we have a fake Mark Harmon? We had a fake Mark Harmon for a bit too. So I mean, maybe it's the same guy. He does all I love Summer School and the love.
Hey, it's Julie.
No, they know who's run the Facebook account, who's run the Instagram account. In terms of
like a newborn baby. I don't. Just terrible. Gopher introduces himself. And he meets two ladies, Brigitte and Yvonne, as they hand him a note requesting a French-English translator. Gopher boasts about how he's practically bilingual, and then, you know, he doesn't speak French. He just doesn't speak French. Yeah, here's my thing, though. Is Julie that dumb? She's going to think he speaks French. And number two, he clearly doesn't speak French and she's just not picking up on it. Or is she so focused on every single man entering the boat that she's just
There are two passengers who, in theory, speak French.
Right.
Gopher will now take care of that. That's one thing off of Julie's plate.
Mm.
The inspector's not on the boat this week. They don't have to worry about quality.
Fair enough. Fair enough. And then another thing. So they head off to their cabin, but they never got a room number. That was the other thing I noticed. Normally you have to know what deck and room.
Right?
Yeah.
Gopher went with him. He's got the rooms.
I think I'm just irritated about the Gopher speaking French thing. So now I'm just, you know, it's not fair that I'm picking on Gopher.
All the stuff in this episode, that's where you're going to get hung up on?
No. Yeah. No, it's just where I start to get hung up. Okay. That's just the beginning of it.
Because I'm pretty sure the Mass Brain Trauma Federation has got some comments on this.
Yeah, I got some. That was a rough one. I had to pause the episode. I was like, okay. A computer is brought onto the boat. And I guess it's a computer.
On a cart that you use to wheel out a wedding cake.
Yeah, AV cart.
Or that's that launch that they sent that old guy out last week to the hospital on. That thing was huge.
Why didn't they just put it on like where they put the cases of Heineken? Just load it like that.
Yeah.
The thing. So it's carried on the head of the boat, and the man in charge of the computer matchmaking thing, Mr. Nick Hyder, says hi doll face to Julie.
Yeah.
Which I thought, wow, that's aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa, what are you?
They could have gone one of two ways with this computerman guy, right? Either complete scumbag ladies man like Frankie Avalon, or complete nerd. One or the other. There was no middle. So they made a choice.
They should have gone nerd, I think. I think they should have gone the other way. Make Frankie Avalon a nerd somehow.
Just put glasses on him.
Just, you know, they love to switch it around. You know, Marty with Marsha was on with shorter hair. I mean, just flip it.
I will give them credit. Whoever decided to name him Nick Hyder, that is exactly the kind of guy that would, you know, basically fix a matchmaking computer to get Julie.
I thought he did. You know, where Julie in the cabin where it was, hot cocoa, you know.
Yeah, he fixed it.
Don't even.
You know, somehow Julie, seemed like you're hung up on Julie not picking up on Gopher, not speaking French. She didn't pick up on him fixing the thing when she never filled out a card.
Yeah. That's creepy.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
He spells her name wrong.
It's not a banner episode for Julie. We're back. We're back on the downtrend.
Oh, poor Julie.
Well, you remember he kissed her neck or her collarbone like immediately, like the first
dude,
you
know. Man. He's just saying about how many people they've matched up and says that she might be next. She kind of says that, you know, she's at work. She doesn't participate in these sort of things. To your point, I never even thought about her never filling out a card.
She says, we'll get to it. When she gets called, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm. Very weird.
Oh, I remember that. I remember him saying the whole,
thing, he is definitely Julie's type in that he is the worst.
Yeah, he's a scumbag. She loves it. And he's older. So how old do you think Frankie Avalon here was?
So I looked it up.
Yeah.
Did you look it up?
No. So let me, can I guess?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess it's older because I love to do that. Like make them 70s. Jeez.
Now I want to make sure I'm right. But
when did Back to the Beach come out? Back to the Beach was that 80s? So it's 10 years. I say he's 57.
Whoa.
In this episode?
You think 1978. He's yeah.
Okay. Chris, any guess?
I think he's 41.
Okay, well, I am going to confirm this, but Chris definitely is right.
Damn it.
I believe he was 37.
Oh. In this? Are you kidding me?
I am double checking now because that sounds almost.
There's no way. There's no way.
Frankie Avalon, according to IMDb, was born September 18th, 1940.
There's no
way. He is 37 in this episode.
Hold on.
Frankie Avalon was not lying about.
Okay. Hold on a second.
You can look at a picture again.
Hold on. This guy was on TV for 54 years. Okay. 54 years.
He was in Grease.
It doesn't. It doesn't make.
He was a teen angel in Grease. He was only 16.
Yeah. Do the math.
I don't know why. Because so what they do in a lot of these is they'll have an older guy play a younger thing, just to, and then
yeah.
It's weird. Oh, damn.
I mean, I was shocked.
I don't know.
That's why I remembered it. I looked that up. Like, when I realized Shelley Long was in this episode, that's when I found out Frankie Avalon was 37. It's shocking. He looks.
Yeah, it is shocking.
You know what's Mike? Huh. He looks older than the old dad in the last episode.
Absolute. The creep. Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so that's ridiculous.
It was the hair. The hair was, yeah. It looked like a piece. It looked like a piece.
Yeah.
So we see a cut scene, and in this cut scene, we see Steubing. He's actually operating something.
I knew you were going to call this out.
So he's not on the bridge. He's not steering the ship. No.
What do you think that was?
He's on the back with these two giant levers. I said, no clue what the hell he's doing. He's doing nothing.
Do you know how many times I went back
and paused? Couldn't figure it out. I did the same thing. I'm like, what is...
Yeah.
It looks like nothing. A giant remote control airplane thing.
Yeah.
Or like it was like one of those green machines. Yeah, I'm like,
what? Ski,
yeah, where he's got an arcade crane machine. He's
like, I bet you he got tired of all the heat. People saying, you don't even do anything. And he was like, watch me work these two sticks. Metal.
That's the most, except there's one scene, same idea, these cut scenes. They probably shot all
these. Oh, he's like in this thing and he looks.
There's one where he's like, you know, waving the boat in or something.
Yeah, because that's what captains do. Like he's helping someone back out of a spot, you know, just worthless Steubing.
So Stubby, do you count right. this? You not count this as Steubing actually steering a boat or no?
No, no. You steer a boat with a steering wheel in the bridge up. He's outside by himself with two sticks
in the back of the boat. You're never by yourself when you have a walkie-talkie.
That's funny. It's funny that you knew I'd bring that up because it's just, man.
Oh, I have. Mike will bring this up. You don't need this many notes.
Oh, man. Gopher delivers a welcome basket to the French ladies. He asks Brigitte, with his terrible, terrible, terrible French, if they would like to go dancing later. Different time, what? I guess. Dancing?
What? What's he going to say?
I don't know. No, but like, gentlemen. You know, maybe, you know. Well, again, he's at work. He's at work. Like, you want to have dinner later?
Yeah.
That makes sense. Do you want to go dancing? Maybe it's because I'm not much of a dancer. I just can't imagine going...
Well, they had that on the cruise. Once again, my vast.
Oh, I bet you they had some dancing.
It was a one night dinner. You had to wear a suit. You know, if you were a guy dressed for girl, like it was real nice. First time I ever had escargot. Not allergic to that, surprisingly.
They can just scrape that right off the.
Gosh, it was. But yeah, the same thing where it was like older people were dancing, and I'm just sitting back looking, going, "Man, this is a."
I mean,
thawed. On water.
I think people just danced more in the 70s. I think it was more of a thing. I think people went places more. And like, maybe I'm just clueless. Maybe that still happens. Oh.
To be fair, we've established this on almost every episode of this show. Like, if you're Gopher in this scenario, you're not even making it to the door. You're just crumpled in a corner in the hallway somewhere. Like, you're not, I mean... So I understand why you wouldn't ask the French girl to go dancing, I don't think it's weird that Gopher did.
I don't dance.
I don't.
I mean, to be fair, did you see Gopher dance? He's not much of a dancer either.
Yeah, but he didn't, you know. But he thinks he is. Yeah, that's the thing.
They all dance like Kevin and Home Alone when he's pulling the strings.
Yeah.
That's funny. He's whatever. Good for him, right?
It worked.
Once Gopher leaves, Brigitte tells Yvonne in English, we're speaking English now. La gig is up. That she doesn't know if she can keep this thing going for this whole trip. Again, you can't keep that up for three. I thought about starting a job years ago with an English accent and just going in day one. I don't know anybody there. Just go in and then just slowly like wean them off. But she can't do 3 days of an accent.
What was Yvonne's plan?
Gold digging.
In terms of like, how long does she have to keep this up? Like, what if yeah. Klinger is like, I want to marry you. Is she just be Boom. French forever?
No. Once you're married, that's it. Okay. Good.
Ah, gotcha. You know, once that's signed, no prenup.
Or she could just let it like gradually, you know.
And we like find maybe, out later. Mm. Yeah, I think people fall in love like within one day. There was a little I love.
Oh, there's a lot of that. I mean? Yeah. Yeah. It was a simpler time.
At least this was a love themed, you know, cruise intention. So it was a little less acceptable.
Yeah. Man, that computer worked. You know?
Yeah. I mean, pre-internet, people moved fast. It's just amazing.
Did you notice that Yvonne was dressed like Han Solo?
I didn't.
You know, Captain the Millennium Falcon.
I can see it. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. That's funny. Yeah. I didn't catch that. Yeah. Yvonne reminds her that they're after gorgeous, not cute. And I guess she
that's why you go to Jamie Farr.
Yeah, that's why you go to Jamie Farr. Okay. But in truth, I mean, it was a gold digging expedition for Yvonne, basically.
Yeah.
Which
is fine. And she was, I just don't understand. I feel like you're putting a lot of effort in. Like, you don't have to start with the French thing, right? Like, you take a couple shots, and if it's not working out, then you go to the French thing.
Yeah. But I think Yvonne was banking on Brigitte, like reeling in a big fish, and by proxy, Yvonne would. Because let's be honest, you know, who's doing the heavy lifting is Brigitte, not Yvonne. So I think that was part of the like.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Because then it like, you know what I mean? And Brigitte, as attractive as she is not, you know what I mean? She's not
Megan Fox's grandma. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, I mean, she's just, you know, she just didn't come across real, you know.
I almost think they needed to be like Yvonne needed to be her actual age, right? Like a little older, and that had to be her niece or whatever. And they were like a flim-flamming gypsies on the always scamming, and that's what they were trying to do. And then she falls for dope. That would have made more sense.
If they would have pitched that to Yvonne, she would have sure to thrown the veto flag. She would have been like, heck to the no. What? We're the same age. I'm younger than her, girl.
Right. Mm. Yeah. And she would have shot Greedo at the captain's table.
That's funny. Nick, we're back to Nick. Frankie, the 37-year-old Frankie Avalon by the pool.
Not again, 50.
Wouldn't
I feel like your world is shook that he was 37.
That just blows my mind.
That's rough.
Why are they doing this poolside? Wouldn't you think back then for how expensive this computer probably was? Wouldn't you want it to like be in always dry environment inside since it takes a truck to move it? Yeah.
We have a cruise expert here, but if you remember, Amin mentioned that everything happens on that Lido deck on a real cruise. Yeah. So I think that's just where things happen. That
makes
sense.
It's the biggest gathering. Yeah, it makes sense. Okay. And you can see him, this long line of people. And I don't know how he's feeding these things into the machine. I see the cards. At this point, you're just giving you like a kind of a view. We see Lily again. She's telling Doc she's not participating in this. That's not what she's here for.
Yeah.
They're like at the bar. Isaac agrees. And he says he doesn't need a machine to get women, which Mike and I know is complete nonsense. but rather one to fight them off.
I thought that was a top three line delivery of entire season.
It was a good line.
When he said that. Yeah. That was just like when he was like, I don't need a machine to find women for me. I need them to keep them off. It was like, that was so better than anything that Ted Lang has done.
It's better than when he called his mom a swinger. Definitely. He delivered this with much more confidence. And he didn't get slapped in the end. So that's a bonus. Doc, you know, he's not, you know,
He's not doing well.
Giving up. He said, basically, are you thinking about us, you know, having some passionate affair? Like, what?
Very creepy again.
What the fuck is that about? Oh, pardon my French, but I...
Yeah.
I don't get that at all.
The response for Doc, like, the last couple episodes, Doc's kind of struck out, right? He got shown up when, what's her name, Stephanie shot the skeets better than him with one arm. Mm-hmm. He kind of got beat out by those kids last week for the blonde. I think Doc, now he's striking out again. Like, he might be going through a crisis of confidence.
He's just not picking the right people.
Very That's creepy.
If you have all the people, but this is the only one we see. I have to assume that when the camera can't see him, he's running game all over the place. This is just a little bit of his cruise.
I didn't notice it the first time. I did notice it on the rewatch. We'll get to it at some point. I think it's very possible these two hooked up.
Oh, I came to the same conclusion, and there was evidence. They were just cool about it.
Yep.
You know, Lily doesn't even respond. She didn't say anything. So she looks and she sees that guy she saw before. Then she shows Doc this picture and says, you know, do they look like the same man? I mean, kind of, maybe. It was a weird, it wasn't like, and Doc doesn't,
4 years is
Doc
a long time.
Care. He's going to be like, oh yeah, whatever they do. Sure.
Sure. It's a dude.
Sure. They look great. Yeah.
I don't care, baby.
Smell this rag. He said, yeah, there's a strong resemblance. Lily goes on, former agency partner and fiance. Yeah, you know what happened. This guy was like, enough of Lily. Enough work, home. I'm out. Yeah.
The Cupid cologne jingle that made them millions or whatever. Yeah. Stinks.
Stinky
jingle.
You just
make her your own with Cupid cologne.
Yeah. She sang
it twice.
It's not a good jingle.
She was like winding up for that second go around at it too. And I was like, slow down, Lily.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very good job. Comes over and this person who she thinks is Alec comes over and says, you know, gets introduced to Lily, tells her his name is Ted Wilcox. Talk about moving fast, and invites her, like, hey, join me for dinner tonight. Oh, I guess it's a singles cruise.
Yeah.
I guess it's a singles cruise. Okay.
Wilcox doesn't know anything. He's a handsome man. He's hitting on him. Sure.
Yeah.
This is she staring at me. She has a picture of me in her wallet.
I might have amnesia, but I know I'm still a stud.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the thing, though, that he had amnesia, but it was almost like he had amnesia about having amnesia. You know, it's not like, hey, I lost my memory. You know, maybe we do know each other. Please talk to me. He's like, no, that's not me completely. Yeah. It's like, did you lose your memory? Yes.
Yeah. Well, he's like, you know, he had to give Rare double amnesia, which is very rare. Yeah. That's funny. I didn't think about the double amnesia.
Yeah.
So she accepts, and she tells Doc she is positive that this is the same man. Okay. We're going to, thank God we can put a pin on that and move on from that.
This is basically the same act two plot of Muppets Take Manhattan, where Kermit gets hit by a car.
You mean Gil?
Business frog. And I'm they have Phil. To go, right. They have to go beat the hell out of him to bring him back so he can put on the show.
Yeah, I'm Phil. I'm Gil. I'm Bill. This is Jill. And they hit him on the head.
And then they get married at the end. It's the same
thing.
They get
thing.
Married at the end. They ripped off Love Boat. Damn you, Jim Henson.
Yeah.
It's funny. Can we see Captain Steubing filling out his information card with his stupid name tag on still with Julie's help.
So that's weird. Didn't you think it was going to be a Scantron, like an old SAT?
That's what I thought. The computer ate it and took your handwriting.
This computer is reading writing in 1978.
Have to put holes in it. It would have to be like a Scantron, but like a hole punch thing. And it would, you're going to read cursive.
I did a little deep dive on this because I am a bit of a computer nerd. It's a Nixdorf computer by Hans Nixdorf. Never heard of it. They ended up selling Nixdorf computers to Siemens.
Nixdorf. Two Nixdorf. F's or one? I feel like it's a two. Okay. Nixdorf.
So it's not a 272 mini scan?
That's why I was like, oh, it's Commodore. Nope.
That's funny.
Yeah.
She walks over to where Nick is about to fire up the 272 mini scan. That's funny. I wrote that down too. So the couplings are happening. We get this stupid of like four names. Yeah, that's how computers.
That's War Games. They stole that from like. Yeah.
It's terrible. So we announce first two pairs: Heather and Daryl, Betsy and Chet. My note is with a super creepy Iona Van mustache.
Yeah.
He has a German Shepherd named Dusty. He plays a lot of softball. He doesn't say a damn word.
He's a man of few words and many actions.
Fast forward, Yvonne reclines on a lounger next to Jamie Farr.
This makes me laugh. Who just shows up? Like, isn't Jamie Farr like a pretty big star on this episode?
He
shows up like midway through act one.
Well, again, my thing Diva. That struck me, he's in a three-piece suit. Who's going to the pool and hang out in a three-piece suit? Okay. If somebody's in a bathing, there's chicks and there's women in bikinis.
He's a commodities trader, Mike. He's not a swimsuit model.
Yeah, that's true. You make a good point. She asks him for a light. He oohs and ahs about how much he likes French ladies. Hook, line, and sinker, right? Sam, meanwhile, gets love match with Penny. Oh boy. Hope you're hydrated, Sam.
Yeah.
And then Penny says to him, "This is your lucky day." And I wrote my notes for like, what is going on here? Like, as soon as they announce the matches, is everyone just like, are they running to a room, one of their rooms, and just...
Penny is.
Penny is.
This is not an icebreaker. This is a key party.
This is a go-ahead.
Yeah.
Just surprised they have such... Well, that's probably why it was at 10 o'clock.
Penny didn't need to go to a cruise to find somebody. Penny could have gone anywhere, you know? No, I mean,
Penny's
as aggressive as she was, yeah.
Gopher goes over to Yvonne and helps to translate the conversation between her and Jamie Farr. It turns out he's a commodities trader. Okay. I don't know if that means you're rich or you're super rich or you're not rich at all.
We had a yacht, so I assume he's rich.
Oh, that's right.
I just go to drugs. I was like, he's a drug, you know.
I mean, that's schnoz, right? Jamie Farr, he's famous for that thing. Good for Eve, sir. Lebanese descent. Nick announces the next couple. It's him and Julie.
Creep.
Steubing is so eager for this thing to mash him with. Is anybody with a heartbeat? And then it says his profile seems to have broken the maid. Seems to have broken the 272 mini scan.
The Nixdorf, yeah.
So
it went down like that elevator that got stuck. It was the same way.
Yeah. Same operating system. Gopher runs into Brigitte in the passageway. Just as Jamie Farr, his friend Walt, and Yvonne come over. Seymour or Jamie Farr asks Gopher to explain to Brigitte how much Walt would like to have dinner with her. And when Brigitte says back, "Pourquoi pas?" Gopher doesn't say it, really means why not. Basically, he lied and said that she's all booked up and that Walt has large ears, elven feet, and an unsightly nose that reminds her of a banana.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That's
why
would Yvonne be like?
Yeah, that's some doc-level subterfuge there by Gopher, though, right? I mean, he's just straight-up lying to these people what they're saying. So.
It is amazing. But I would think Yvonne would like try to be like, yo, there's something. She's got to be smarter than that.
Well, she did later.
Yeah, but she waited too long.
I think.
On
the dance floor. Yeah.
Walt storms off. Once they're kind of away, Gopher asks Brigitte if she'd like to have dinner with him. Lily, well, she knows that Ted is really Alex. She knows this. And here is the thing that drives me crazy. They're wearing identical rings that they like custom designed for themselves. No.
What a coincidence.
What? Oh, really? I don't know.
Gin joints.
Custom made by my best friend. And then, oh, what a coincidence. Next, just moving on.
So the other thing that's interesting here is that while we're having this discussion, Lily's talking to Doc. Doc's like getting dressed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like,
they totally, she does this tie. They totally hooked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't at his office too.
Yeah. I think it was like, she doesn't want to be on this cruise. She's pumping Doc for amnesia information. And they're just two older people. You know, they know each other from the previous episode.
Being free.
Yeah. I thought it was nice. That was a nice touch.
Nobody works. Nobody really works like Doc, Captain Steuben.
Isaac barely Gopher. Works. Isaac
Gopher works a little bit.
Yeah.
Did we see Isaac make a drink this episode?
No. He
put a couple straws in.
He's in that bit. Oh, you know what? Apologies. The scene where she dumps, Yvonne dumps the wine on Gopher in the back, Isaac's like bartending it up in the back.
Oh, okay.
Cool little cinematography there.
Interesting. So then I'm thinking now, okay, now we understand that maybe this is amnesia, right? So are we not going to plan to knock him in the head? Are we just going to try to talk to him and go, oh, why can't you remember? Why can't you remember? So we're just going to not try to hit somebody in the head with something medically.
Kermit.
To fix that. Right. Kermit's going to kill.
You're going to lightly remind.
They don't even bring it up. There's not even like, well, what can we do? They were like, you know, basically, you know, she'll do anything to spark his memory. AKA hit him with something.
Yeah.
I would assume. I mean, how else do you get rid of amnesia?
That's how you fix everything.
Her answer is to play backgammon with him. Which is slang.
Oh,
his favorite thing.
That's fine if it includes her hitting him in the head with a blunt object, like hard enough to jar his memory.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But what if he doesn't have amnesia, which is definitely possible?
I think he's got the double amnesia. He knows. He knows that most people think he doesn't remember. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's not remembering. Memory hall pass for the rest of your life. Wait, how do I know you? I don't remember you. No.
Nope, Ted Wilcox. Totally your real name.
It's Ted brilliant. Wilcox. You know, you play two songs. You immediately go out to dinner. I mean, this guy's hitting home runs left and right.
And spoiler, at the end, he basically is like, I kind of remember you.
Oh, yeah. He's like, I love you. You should move.
You don't see what happens outside of the boat, though. They go outside of the boat. The taxi opens. He gets there in the taxi and smacks the trunk like he's smacking the back of a horse, and that's gone.
Yeah.
I'm gone again. My name is
Nick.
My new name is Roger.
He's underneath the computer table.
I'm out. Jamie Farr is telling his buddy Walt that the rejection from Brigitte was just like a misunderstanding. And they see him her dancing with Gopher. And he's like, you know, go dance with her. Go, you know. Tells Yvonne he has a lot of money riding on showing Walt a good time.
What does that mean?
What does that even mean? Yvonne would do anything, I think, at this point, if you'd just be straight up with her and just say, look. So Seymour does this cut in. Where we talked about before, what are the rules of a cut in? This is definitely not a cut inable thing. She asked Brigitte if she'd like to dance with Walt Gopher by asking Brienne. She replies with, Why not? I speak English. Whew. Well, you know, pourquoi pas? And Walt assumes she's once again insulting his appearance, and she walks off. Yvonne runs after him and Jamie Farr while Brigitte and Gopher continue to dance.
I think the cut-in rules, we talked about it, like if it's your husband or wife, it's kind of no rules there, right? You can't cut in on a husband or wife. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but also, can you do it a girlfriend, boyfriend, though? That's even
I mean, I think if you don't know any better, you can try, and I guess you can say no. Like, you can say no, right?
But who's it up to? Can the guy say no? Does a girl have to say no? I wonder.
If you're the guy, you're going to be over.
If you're the guy and say no, but what if she's like, cool? Like, what?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
that'd be a weird thing.
But I think
if then if she does, then he's like, what the hell? You know?
I think if you're trying to dance with a girl and they're dancing with an employee of the place you're at, you should be able to cut in. The customer's always right.
I agree. I totally agree with that. He's at work. He's wearing his work stuff. To me, right. If you're wearing work
like whenever stuff, I go into Wawa and somebody's dancing, but also making a sandwich, I get right in there.
Yeah. I would like a sandwich, but not by the dancing person. I would like the... Right.
Excuse me. Can I have a shorty and the next dance?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, you guys sell pizza now? What? Come on, Wawa. That's funny. When Alex or Ted or whoever this person, you know what? When Double Amnesia notices that he and Lily are wearing the same ring, he says, I don't know. I don't have any memory of it. Like, you don't know where.
Weird, huh?
Yeah. And then she spins this tale about how it's a unique and it was designed by, you know, made by a New York jeweler. And he just goes, well, they must have made two of them.
Cox is not inquisitive.
You're just dumb. You don't have amnesia. You're just dumb.
He couldn't be more like plainly lying. He's like, oh, maybe they made two. She's like, what? Yeah, they made two. Yeah, they made two. That's what I just said. Of course they made two.
Infuriating.
God, made me laugh so hard because I was like, you gotta be kidding me. This guy's
so dumb.
Boxer rocks this guy.
It's so fantastic. Come on, Ted. Alex.
Uh oh. What's that? It's time for the jingle for Cupid Cologne. First of two. And it's awful. She's doing this because he wrote the music, she wrote the words.
Right.
But he doesn't acknowledge it. Maybe that's why he left her, because he hated this stupid Cupid Cologne song.
That was 100% faked his own death because of that song. It's terrible. It's so embarrassing.
That broke the camel's back. That's what it was. Stupid Cupid Cologne song. And again, at the end, my notes were like, can we just hit this dude on the head now? What are we doing? This whole thing is a nothing. We can talk about jewelry. You know what, Lily? You're no further than you were before. Maybe if you hit him hard enough, it'd be like, all right, damn, okay, it's me, you got me. Like that Will Ferrell thing, like, you know, you better not stab yourself in the leg, like, you know, that cold, very, very similar. Oh, here comes Nick, 37-year-old Frankie Avalon, comes over to Julie while she's filling her plate, and I wrote, and boy, was she filling up that plate. And you know she's not eating any of that food either. Oh. I knew it was going to get, you know, poor.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we haven't seen Julie eat since that monkey stole all the food off her plate.
So. She's just scared of infection because
exactly.
No one's ever caught the monkey. We never saw the monkey leave the boat. We saw the monkey come back on the boat. All the food might be tainted. Just something to think about. Big buffet. And she's like, he's saying, you know, you've been avoiding me all evening. Like, what? And he also says that according to the 272 mini scan, the two of them should be together. And she's like, no. And she gives a big spiel about love shouldn't be based on logic, but rather spontaneous and emotional.
This is the problem where I was like, Julie, honey, whether you're right or not, first of all, just say no. That's all that matters. But secondly,
no.
Why are you not bringing up the fact that the computer did not match you up? Because I didn't fill out a card, bub. So why is you clearly rigged it, you creep? Also, why are you in the machine, guy running the contest? Like,
I wrote run, Frankie Avalon. Run now while you have a chance. Like the second
no, she's digging you. I say run, Julie. No.
Oh, she's, I think she's nerds. Nick says, you know, I have a crush on you. And then he kisses her shoulder. Bear, what a very, that's really creepy. Like, that's really creepy. Like, he clearly understands that she is not all about him. And to do that after?
Do you think that's the one spot that Annette Funicello wouldn't let him kiss?
That was her navel, I think. Or is that what she agreed not to show in movies to Walt Disney?
One or the other.
That's, I don't know. I had such a... Yes. Weird. It was a weird digesting that.
Yeah, he's in the wrong in this entire episode.
Oh my god, yeah. Why don't you just be just normal?
Why don't you not be involved, computer man? Because you know what I'm almost thinking is that you set up this whole scam just to bed ladies. Julie.
Yeah. So, what? No, what? Yeah. I'm only 37. I don't have time to come up with a plan like that. I'm still young. Double Amnesia invites Lily to his cabin so that he can play a song he wrote, you know, called Lily's Song, because they've known each other for about an hour, but not really, but yes, because Double Amnesia.
He said he's not good with lyrics. Maybe he's not good with titles either.
I tell you what she should have done is gone in there and just grabbed that guitar and just crowned him like Jeff Jarrett, just right on the crown of his head. So he plays this thing and she says, that's the same melody as the jingle for Cupid Cologne, which, as we've learned, started this whole Double Amnesia horrible problem. Double Amnesia mulls that over and he's like, what? Realizes, you know, maybe she's right, and goes, huh, weird. Man, a few words. He didn't say anything. He just, dude, doesn't talk. And he's like, it's just two words. Huh? Like, there's just nothing going on. This guy was on TV. This guy acted. Like, did he talk?
Not as the character.
Yeah, but even if you have need, he didn't forget how to talk. Like, he can't communicate. Everything was in like 3 or 4 words, and then that would be it. Ricky knows I'm tired. Like, it was so strange to me. Lily says, hey, let's team up, Double Amnesia, and let's make an original song together. And he was like, yeah. And he leans in and lands a smooch. But Lily pauses. Lily pauses and asks if their smooching reminds him of anything. And he says, of what? Just nothing with this guy. Of what? Last two lines were, weird, and then of what? And she's like, just forget about it. Again, I don't like these storylines that just go nowhere, to just drag and drag. Like the last week with the father and the daughter, it was the same thing. Just this. What's your irritation level at this storyline? Am I the only one that's just like, I get it.
Chris, you have the cruise experience. Is this something you come across a lot on a boat?
Yeah. Good question. Any Double Amnesia on your cruise? No.
Chris is on mute.
You're on mute, like Chris.
Ted Wilcox.
Fair enough.
The problem with the Ted Alex thing, Mike, I think you're right, is they jump around very slow, and then really fast. Like, it goes from amnesia, discovery, how can I fix it? That weird ass fight on the deck, and then they're in love. So it all moved pretty fast.
It's just a tempest. Just all these crazy things happening at once. The next day, Julie wanders in the pool area, and she's noticing all these couples. And she runs into Nick. You know, says kind of good job for his matchmaking. And apologize for, you know, the way she acted last night. I don't think she has anything to apologize for.
Yeah, I agree. Like, at best, all that's been accomplished is Frankie Avalon did what he was hired to do.
Right.
At best, right? But certainly not, like, the availability of dating Julie. You shouldn't apologize, Julie, for that guy being a creep and trying to swallow your collarbone.
Yeah, he kissed her shoulder, lest we not forget. He accepts her apology. No kidding, he accepts her apology. No kidding. Part of his bigger plan. And admits he's probably been coming on a little too strong. Really?
Thanks, Frankie.
And again, this is the line of the ship, and suggests they have dinner later. Everybody wants to have dinner later. It's a fancy thing. The captain, although I will say this, no captain's dinner on this episode.
We haven't had captain's dinner in a while. Yeah, the club was hopping, but there wasn't a lot of dinner.
No.
There was a lot of dancing being served.
Yeah, it's weird as they sort of reverse course on the captain's dinner. Also, the chef is making veal parmesan, and they happen to both of them happen to love veal parmesan. Fact. That's what they said the chef was making.
The last time I had veal parmesan, I was a kid, and I'd never had it, and it was really tasty, and I ate a bunch of it. I was like eight, right? And I ate a bunch of it, and I went to bed, and then I got sick and threw up on all the National Geographics that we had on the steps that we were getting rid of the next day.
Or at least so, it was a glossy page magazine.
Yeah, I've never had veal parmesan or probably read National Geographic since, so...
That's funny. We should go to Philly and have some veal parmesan and read National Geographic just to ship.
Is that what happened to you on your birthday?
I did. 2 years in a row. Oh, wow. Man. And then a cheesesteak after. Yeah. That was breakfast sandwich. Gopher's struggling to communicate with Brigitte in French. And he wants her to know, you know, how much he kind of likes her, and he gives up, and he's going to go get his English-French dictionary. Once he's gone, Yvonne is asking her, Brigitte, where she's been all morning. Brigitte talks in English. Yvonne loses her you-know-what and says, don't speak English so loudly until after she's off the ship. Brigitte says she's going to have a hard time keeping this whole French-only language thing going. That she tells people that maybe she can just tell people she became fully bilingual after studying a Berlitz book that she bought.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow. Vaughn's nah. She says no, she's not going on any more cruises with her. Brigitte tells her this and then walks away.
Why does Yvonne care if Gopher knows that they're not French? Like, he's not going to say anything, right? Like, he doesn't care. It would make it a lot easier.
I don't think he cares, but I'm sure, like, if he said something to Julie, she would care. You know, it would.
But he wouldn't say something to Julie because that would blow up his spot.
Oh, because she could just be like, can this be our little secret kind of deal? And he's.
Yeah. That's all. Parlez-vous.
All right. Fair enough. I'm not mad at it. Up, double amnesia. It tells Lily, excuse me, that he feels like he's known her for years, supporting the double amnesia theory, and that they're meant for each other. Oh, and then she says, well, let me just remind you, you actually have known me for years, and says, I love you. Like, what? And then he proposes and says, move to California. Let me just hit the pause button there. Like, what? So much. So much.
That whole scene is insanity. She loves him. Then they talk about getting married. But then they argue about where they should live. And then they are fighting because Alex doesn't think that he's good at the job that he used to have. And then Patty Duke gets mad about that.
It's crazy.
And then he's like, lady, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, that's odd. Hold on 1 second.
So then Patty Duke has the quickest reversal of course in the history of mankind. So Alex is like, lady, you're out of your mind. And then she gets mad and she's like, you're the one who's out of his mind. And then like, literally it's, you're the one who's out of his mind. Wait, Alex, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She doesn't even let him take it in before she apologizes. So
I just wrote, like, just hit him in the head already. Enough.
Play that song, you know, like the Wild Bill song that, you know, ooh, you know, Silence of the Lambs. That's all I was thinking was just like, this guy is nuts. It's not amnesia. He's just crazy.
Like, he kills her 20 minutes into her entering the house in California, right?
Oh, yeah. Skin suit.
I don't think
she's floating down the Russian River.
Yeah. That calm river. Yeah.
Lily has not seen this guy since they got off the boat. That was it. He was like, fool me once, shame on you. He was out. There's no chance they're in California making music.
Well, that's why I was wondering. So if you're Patty Duke, right, and you eventually decide you're going back to California with him,
right,
you go home ostensibly to quit your job, pack up your apartment, make arrangements, all that stuff. If he has real amnesia, there's a real good chance he's not going to remember you. When you show up again, you have to do this all over again.
Yeah, what if it's like 50 first dates or whatever, like that one movie where she can only remember one day at a time? Good thing it's only a 3-day cruise. I mean, there's just not a lot to remember. He wakes up every day like Frosty the Snowman, just happy birthday. This was good. Heather, the Shelley Long character, drops by Daryl's cabin as he's shaving. It's so weird. She gets annoyed. Number one, she gets annoyed that he's shaving. And number two, she's annoyed at how much he likes to look at himself in the mirror. He says that she's a boring egghead with the sex appeal of a bowling ball.
I mean, it's Sam and Diane. It's amazing.
It's the same dynamic.
How it is.
It's so weird.
She's great at it, though, man.
Oh, it's natural.
I mean, natural. It's perfect. Like, that guy couldn't hold a candle to Ted Danson, but...
No, not at all. But, yeah, it was weird to... that was weird.
Yeah.
She sprays shaving cream all over his face and then storms out.
Like to the point where I was a little concerned about his well-being. Like, it was a lot of shaving cream very up close.
There was a lot of shaving cream.
In his eyes,
In his nose. Yeah, it's like blinded. I
mean,
shame the doctor's busy. We can't fix that guy's eyes.
That's funny. Gopher's struggling with his French still. Telling Brigitte he wishes that she could speak his language. And she blurts out something in English. And this is at dinner. This is that scene you were talking about, Mike.
It's amazing. Like, so basically they shoot it where the table is in the foreground, and then in the background, there's Isaac at a very busy bar, and he's chatting and serving drinks, and they've never done that shot before. It was really cool, but they had to do it because it was Gopher and Brigitte here, and then Yvonne and Klinger back here, and she just, to get out of this jam, just takes wine and just dumps it right on him. It was hilarious.
Zero, like, technique. It was
no subtlety.
Like a big glass.
Oh yeah.
But for as many dumb like pratfall type things that they had, that was really. I thought that was great. Like that whole little scene was really. I enjoyed all of it. I enjoyed Isaac in the background. I enjoyed that whole little scene. So.
That was good. Those are the kind of things that I love about the show. When they do something like that, where it's just, it's physical comedy, but it just involves a bunch of different characters, just very well.
Wasn't falling in the pool again. Yeah,
love it. you know, he gets up to go. Yvonne tells him she has something he can get the wine stains out with, and kind of gives Brigitte like a stink eye kind of look. Julie happily dancing with Nick, basically saying now, you know, wow, maybe this whole matchmaking thing wasn't all, you know, smoking. Maybe it was real. Maybe you're right. Then we see Sam chiding Penny. Matt is irritated because she just all she talks about is sex. And he makes it pretty clear. Hey, I'm no longer into you.
She was a cultural desert.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. Yvonne lowered. What's that?
The ultimate insult. The ultimate insult. You're a cultural desert.
Just dare you.
You know, it's another thing too. It's funny how often they use this sort of, you know, quote unquote wingman. You know, you always have like
two pair. Yeah.
See, it's always like that, where one is goes in this way and one's doing more. One's sort of it's like every other episode. It's that same storyline, like the Juan Epstein thing. It was the same thing, but it was more people. Last week, same thing. It's just interesting. They just always the two spinsters. Remember, it's always there's always a double. It's just interesting that they rely on that.
I guess it's hard to do like a single person.
Yeah,
you know,
that's really more on the writers.
Yeah,
interesting. Yvonne brings Gopher into her cabin to get him undressed, and she basically tells him like she can't get rid of the stain, but she can get rid of him. Grabs his uniform and leaves the cabin, and Gopher's just kind of in his underwear, doesn't know what's going on.
So, why would she?
He works,
give up the French part of it. Like, I don't understand what her plan was. Gopher's got other clothes. He lives on the boat.
Right.
Yeah.
But now you're busted. Now you busted the French thing.
Because mm-hmm.
Your play was there.
You sort of ticked him off. If you had just brought him back
and fixed his clothes.
You didn't have to say anything.
Yeah.
And really, you could have fixed his clothes and taken a while and gotten whatever you wanted out of Klinger.
Right. Right.
And then yeah. I mean, she clearly pisses him off because he blows her up at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
but I don't think he would have had she not gone this nutso.
I don't think she thinks that far ahead. Clearly with like the whole French.
She had dollar signs.
Same like, we're going to just don't think this speak French. Great idea, Bridget. Brigitte, sorry.
She's just a hotshot pilot. It's going to get her in trouble one of these days.
Yeah,
it is. Back to Lily telling Doc how, you know, she screwed it up with double amnesia when she said, hey, you know, maybe you could live and work in New York. And she said that because basically, you know, I know he's brilliant and, you know, we would make all these great jingles. And then here's Doc. He says, well, maybe it was the pressure of trying to make it in New York that, quote unquote, broke his brain. And Lily says, yeah, maybe that's been putting undue pressure on him. Listen, I think we've all been under a certain amount of pressure in our lives, but I've never been under so much pressure that I fake amnesia and then somehow are dumb enough to come. I'm just saying, there's a limit to what stress can do.
Can you imagine being that talking to a doctor? Like, what led you to this? It's like, I used to write jingles and
I'm just tired.
Crazy, Doc. You know,
everything got nuts.
Did you ever work with your wife?
We shared an office. And that was.
Yeah, I remember that not going great.
No, it was not good. It was not good.
There was a food cart when I worked in Center City. Great food cart, had the best chicken salad. It was a little food cart, and they were a married couple. And the food cart closed because they got divorced because it was just too much.
It was a good chicken salad.
Every day.
Oh, it was great chicken salad, but I don't think they had amnesia. I think it was just, you know, so.
Yeah.
I'm saying is don't walk a mile in Ted Wilcox's shoes.
I mean, maybe if I've learned anything from this episode, maybe what I do is put this into practice, meaning like the next time Mrs. Taylor and I get in an argument, I fake amnesia.
Yeah.
There you go.
And just sell it for as long as, and just, who are you? Until, like, why are you in my home? In
the parking lot.
Yeah. Who are you and these children? Whose children are these? I know the dog, but I don't know you. Can I do select?
Remember parts of this.
Yeah. Hey, Piper, come here. Yeah, I never treat her. Don't worry
about it. We kind of talked about in the beginning that, like, she had the best authorities looking for him and all
that.
So did they just, like, did they bury him? Did they have, like, an empty casket funeral? Like, what was the end?
How far did he go? How far did he go? Was this a John Wick type thing? Like, he had to. It's interesting.
Didn't she say it was 5 years? I think it was it 5 years?
4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah. It was something like that. A long time. Yeah. You're definitely having fake burial for that.
Right. Like, did she get the insurance money?
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Did she have the.
Well, no, they weren't married. They weren't married.
Cologne jingle?
Yeah. He's probably like, this terrible song. You can have him.
She got all the money. Yeah. Got all the rights to it.
That was not one of his 54 Billboard top 100s.
Apparently she gave him double amnesia, but it wasn't so bad where he wouldn't take off his identical ring. Like, are you kidding me? No, there's nothing that I can identify me except for this oddly specific piece of jewelry that there's only two of in the world.
Maybe they made two.
You're Ted Wilcox, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're Alex, whatever his name was.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you have faked amnesia.
Yeah.
And left New York to get to California because Patty Duke loves California so much, she's never going to leave New York. You're never going to see this woman again. You're fine. You're enjoying your guitar and your weird cabin. Of all the gin joints in all the world, she shows up on this boat and you're busted. Because what are the odds? You can't find anybody that doesn't want to be found. Like, it's impossible.
It's all cash.
Did you look in the phone book? I mean, what else? What aside from that? What are you going to do? Hire a private investigator?
It's DB Cooper and Ted Wilcox.
Yeah, and who killed JR? Those are the biggest mysteries of that time. I couldn't figure that out.
No.
And couldn't figure that out.
Bounce back from that if you're Patty Duke once she finally realizes that he's been faking this whole time. Like,
I think
she quit her job. She tears her life apart to move to California. And then in about 3 months, she's going to be like, hey, did you get the milk? And he's like, no, shut up. This is worse than that Christmas party in 75. And then
this is why I got amnesia.
Yeah, this is why I had to create a new identity.
But she can't even, it's like almost like she can't even be mad at his fake amnesia, which leads me to believe that there's going to be more amnesia coming. Like, that slate's going to be needed to be like wiped every, who are you? Every 6 months
into the marriage. Yes. Do you take the trash out? Huh? What happened? I don't know.
I just signed a lease.
What? I'm Alex. Shut up, Ted. Yeah.
I know they don't do like recurring characters, but I would watch these two come back on the boat in like a couple years just to see.
Oh, especially with your premise too. Like, the, do you remember when you buried me? You know, like, your mom and dad were there. Dead. Just go dark.
Captain Steubing, really productive episode for old Merrill this week. He accomplished. No, he couldn't even get his card into the machine.
Well, he drove.
And he had two sticks and he fed a card.
He's like, look at my tag right here.
Yeah, right here,
Julie.
Steubing's asking Nick if he was. He's all so desperate here. Just the energy. Have you been able to get my card into the machine yet? And Nick's like, no. No, I haven't. And then Crazy Julie's back. She is ready to hook up with Nick. You can just see it. Like, uh-oh. We've seen that look before.
This is where Nick's wearing that weird red shirt. Wearing like a red shirt look. With a deep V. It's like,
yeah.
It looks like
he's 37. Like, he doesn't know how to dress. Teddy.
Or 51.
Yeah, he's 51.
It's like
he
argued with wardrobe, like, no, I'm wearing this. And they're like, just let him do it. Yeah. Yeah.
I brought this from home.
Yeah.
Mr. Avalon, why do you need 6 hair dryers? Just give me 6 hair dryers.
Nikki needs.
Also, I need 6 hands.
The humidity isn't 400%. My face falls down.
Yes.
Yeah.
37.
Can I say something about the Captain Steuben? Like the whole card thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny whenever Gopher, you know, like the whole like Captain Steuben was like walking him through the hallway when he's wearing the dress. I was really hoping Nick would be like, oh yeah, we did put your card in the machine, and he lined up with Gopher.
And it's just because like he's now in a dress.
Yeah, yeah.
It automatically changes your profile based on what you're wearing.
Doc Kingdom too. Doc got a good zinger in. He's like, hey, they finally found you a date.
Yeah.
I see the computer finally.
Doc came up like ran from his scene to get that zinger in.
And you can't. I think
the writers didn't put that in. It's like
no, I was
Mad Lib on set. It is though that thing where like Steuben, he's been so inconsistent, right? And this was just another version of pathetic Steuben,
like pathetic Steuben
with his levers.
Stubby would be horrified. He'd be like, wait a minute. You put your name in a for dating while you were the captain of a
right.
Stubby would have none of this.
Yeah.
The real Captain Steuben.
Yeah.
How long do you think? Because I'm getting this all ready for the Stubbies, our year end review.
Big deal.
But everybody on the crew has hooked up 3, 4, 5, whatever times. Stubby's got a donut, but now we know he's trying, which makes it so much worse.
Right.
So how what's the streak? Are we getting to DiMaggio? Are we getting to 56 episodes before a Steuben romance?
Well, I mean, if he continues tactics like come back to my room and look at the big book of shipwrecks, then yes, he will continue. Okay, here's one. Will he hook up before the end of this season? How many episodes do we have left? Four?
Four or five.
If he's this deep in, that's not looking good.
I think they might have to do it just to right the ship. No pun intended.
Yeah, he's got to do something.
Wonder if they save it for the big two-parter to open season two.
Yeah.
There's a two-parter?
You got to do it then, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got to come back with a two-parter to start next season.
Oh, that's
real. Get ready. Wow. Get ready, Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, we're coming.
And it has to be unique. It's either somebody way younger than him or way older.
Oh, way older would be hilarious.
Yeah.
I hope it's Phyllis Diller. That would be great.
The Arthur.
Or the woman that played Madam. She would be great too. Or Madam.
Steuben.
Steuben's dating Madam. And Lady Elaine from the land of make believe.
He's BFS with King Friday.
All right. So I'm officially guessing first the two-parter for season two. So you want to put a guess in, Mike? We can't cheat. So.
I say before the end of the season. So you think something's going to happen
sometime in the next five episodes. Okay.
I think they have to. Like it just doesn't. Julie's hanging out in Nick's cabin. Who has a pitcher of cocoa? Isn't it something you have water and you add?
That's that was
not
weird.
Coffee. Like, what kind of psychopath has hot cocoa in a pitcher? Because I know Julie likes it. Frank Avalon, hair dry, red shirt.
Made it.
Do you think it's on his ride? It's in his rider. That was very specific.
Yeah,
and they gave him a very nice room. Like, you see how big that room was? There was seats and everything. It wasn't a small room. There was a living room. Oh, if you bring a dating machine.
I think that's the suite.
The big, big, big baller one? Like the...
Yeah.
That's what it looked like.
Top deck. Yeah.
With the cardboard.
Do you think the computer's in there? Is that why they need the big room?
Probably why.
Yeah.
They got to keep it cool. In the bathroom.
It's like sitting there like C-3PO by the pool, just off.
They just like put an umbrella over it.
My room on my real cruise was so small that I remember putting one hand out. I'm taller than the average. I'm 6'3" and some change, but I could put my hand and touch one wall and not even move my foot a lot and touch the other wall. Two beds. There was two beds.
I think they just figure, man, that like most people are just out and about getting stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. The hot cocoa thing was really weird. All of a sudden, we are interrupted by all three couples who were matched by this Dermaplatz 5000, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And they interrupt their
Nixdorf computer.
Their Nixdorf to yeah. complain about how much they all hate each other. Wah, wah.
I love that these people have just somehow found out where this guy is staying. Like this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine security. If, like, you were in a hotel and, I don't know, somebody was selling Girl Scout cookies and the cookie, you got open up the box and it was all empty and you went and found the woman who sold you the Girl Scout cookies. Like, that's what this is. Like,
that's exactly what that is. So weird. Back to Lily. Now, Lily's apologizing to Double Amnesia, which is really an amazing turn of events for this Double Amnesia guy. Now, the woman... that he pretended he had amnesia, but now he remember. You know, he's pulling yeah. this whole thing on. Is now apologizing to him,
and that's why
his game is wrong.
Jeez,
that's why you fake your own death to get the upper hand.
Unbelievable! No wonder you have so many hit songs, sir. Jeez. And he's saying something. She asked if the proposal is still on the table, and says, "I can't give you Manhattan." But I can offer you a rocking chair and a sunset for inspiration.
And a deep every well in now my basement.
And then. Like, what is going on here? This is the most bizarre, like, let's just wrap this up. It just, you know, we always say there's at least one. But I don't know which one it is this week.
He has a drawer full of people's IDs. That's all I'm saying. Like.
Yeah, it's this one because the amnesia is floating so inconsistently. Like, I really thought it was going to be that thing where she eventually, like, metaphorically hits him in the head with their sure. love, right? And that's well, how he remembers.
Yeah.
But this the is kiss. Just like, sometimes I remember and sometimes I don't. At the very end, I totally remember, which really throws the whole thing off. So
it's situational. Yeah, it's just odd. Love boats approaching the port in L.A. Jamie Farr and Walt over here. Brigitte kind of getting on Gopher for abandoning her on the dance floor. And the two guys are like, you speak English? Like, what?
Hold up.
Hold on. And Yvonne emerges from the gift shop with like this some piece of like jewelry.
Boat jewelry, the fanciest.
Yeah, boat jewelry. Yeah, the best of all. They have 13 magazines and boat jewelry. How good is that? Jamie Farr tells her to take a hike, Yvonne, and storms off. She says, there goes my millionaire, and chases after him. Gopher kind of, you know, is upset with Brigitte for making him look like a fool by not speaking English. She's just like, it was all Yvonne's idea, and they smooched.
I didn't get Gopher's. Why was he mad? Like, if they didn't lie, he never would talk to her. He got to spend all the time with her. You're Gopher. You always look like a fool. I don't know. I thought he doth protest too much.
I think it was like he was upset about the woulda coulda. You know what I mean? I think he was unduly focused on the woulda coulda, but I don't think there would have been I don't know.
Gopher, my friend. We've seen everybody you've landed so far on this ship, and this is by far the best you'll do. So
yeah, that and then the woman with the bandage covering most of her face.
Dumb. Who was dumb. Yeah.
Super dumb, but had pretty eyes. Because most people have most of their face covered by bandages have pretty eyes.
Megan Fox's grandmother. I'm going to keep calling her that. That's. I was like, whoa.
No, she was very attractive. And I actually thought she was a pretty good actress for that role. Because at first I was like, oh, she must be some bimbo. But she was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
She had a good nose. I don't know why that stood out, but she just had like a weirdly perfect nose. It was very odd.
I agree.
That's what Gopher's into is noses. You know, Doc likes them big. Gopher likes noses.
He's like, take that bandage off. Do it for Gopher.
Oh, look
at the slow. Do it slow for Gopher.
Lily says goodbye to Doc, and she's leaving the ship with Double Amnesia. and then kisses her and says the thing that I didn't know I was capable of being this mad. I love you more than I did before.
Yeah.
Scene. That's it. That storyline's wrapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Weird.
So is that in the show's universe? Is that, you know how there's that like shared nostalgia where people like Shazam, right? Like people mm-hmm. think that something really happened just because everybody always says it happens, but it didn't really happen. Yeah. Do you think that he's just been like, it's been beaten into him? He's been gaslighted about his past for 3 days that he just remembers it now, or is he faking?
He's probably just shut up already.
Yeah, just get to the house.
Enough. Of course I remember I live, you.
This is definitely my address. Come here.
Well, what happens when she gets there and it's like all the same clothes? It's like, wait a minute. You have all of the same clothes?
You know, it'd be hilarious.
If there was a if he was married again.
No.
I forgot. Okay.
Hey, I just landed at the airport. He's like, cool, I'll be right there. And he goes to the airport and he doesn't go to the arrivals. He goes to departures and he goes back to New York. And shockingly, Alex is back. I'm back, baby. Ready to take back New York.
Pumping out the hits, making money. And she flies back. She flies back and he flies back to California.
He's like, I just got a lesson learned. Don't take any 3-day Valentine's Day cruises.
On the West Coast, he's Alex. On the East Coast, he's Ted. It's Teddy Ted. East Coast and Alex West Coast. That's how he remembers. We're back to Nick. He's embarrassed about how badly the matches worked out. Steubing says the machine is obviously broken because it would have, you know, if it wasn't broken, he would have been matched up with someone.
Gopher.
Yeah. A few seconds later, we see that the three former couples have now reshuffled. Now it's Betsy and Daryl, Penny and Chet, which totally makes sense.
Don Fry.
Maxwell.
Heather and Sam. I think Penny and Chet, they walk out and they get right into Chet's van, which is just parked right across the street.
Chet's van. I love that. Just...
Nick said he's surprised about, you know, how these all got together. Because the computer would have never paired those combos of people together. And then he admits that he rigged their hookup because, again, as we all know, Captain Obvious, she never filled out a card. Come on. Julie grabs his hand and she escorts him off the ship.
Right. So you lied. And you lied to me as an employer or a vendor, at least.
Right.
And supplier, then you lied to me as a romantic interest. God knows what was in that cocoa.
Oh,
I was very disappointed in Julie. Because the other thing is, too, as an actual hiring, this is a bad hire.
It is.
Right? This is like Julie got conned again. This guy's a con man.
It's work.
There's so many. The Sinatra, the Coco, like, wouldn't you just be, whoa, like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know how hard it is to be the worst Julie hookup guy? But I think Frankie Avalon might be the worst Julie hookup guy.
Yeah, it's creepy. That's creepy. There's a lot of, the more you think about it too, he's just kind of, I've got all of your favorite things on this tray.
Interesting. I know everything about you, Julie.
And that wraps it up. The end of the episode.
Crawled to the finish.
That the reason I wanted to add the IMDb rating is I kind of wanted to be like, I don't know what a 6.9 is. I know what a 6.1 is.
Well, now we do.
And this, I don't think it's,
I think it was an entertaining, I didn't get mad at anybody.
The amnesia?
Like I do in the episodes I really hate. And I thought like there were some charming parts. I actually really ended up liking the doc end of it, even though he really wasn't in that scene.
Right.
But no, it was one of those perfectly harmless middle of the pack episodes. Now, to your point, a 6.9 is probably pretty high for this season.
That's what I thought.
I agree. That's way too high.
Yeah.
5.4.
Like it's a bit high. I'd give it, I don't know, somewhere between 6.5 and 6.7.
Was it better than last week?
Yes.
Okay. So I think that's what it is. Like, ultimately, it's like, if we were ranking these, which thank God we're not, it would be like the middle.
Yeah.
It would be the middle third, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. I agree.
So as we said, Toils and Recap, this is not the best episode. But the last couple of weeks were not good, generally.
No.
And so this was just fine. This was just perfectly acceptable. I don't think there was any bad storylines. There weren't any great storylines either.
Mm-mm.
But it was fine.
It was fine. Yeah. It was perfectly fine. Which I wouldn't have.
Is what we're taking, I think, at this point. So
yeah, we'll take perfectly fine.
Captain of the week, the best of the week, Chris. Your choice for best of the week.
Man, that's going to be a toughie on this one. Definitely not Amnesia. I'm thinking I like the French girls.
Yep.
Fair enough.
No, I thought they were really good.
Yeah. Yep.
I think it would have been better if Yvonne had played a little older, but I did like their dynamic, and it's fun to have lady con artists, right?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Yeah, because like you learn later on and you're like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael?
I would have to go. I'm a little torn. I'm trying to finalize my decision here. I'm going to go I'm going to go Ricky Nelson. I was reluctant to go Rick Nelson, and I'll tell you why. This guy, the fact that he was able to, like, okay, Rick Nelson, here's the story we're going to give you, and it's this whole thing and Amnesia. He was a good-looking dude, I just can't believe at the end he was just like, yeah, I've always loved you like that. I think you have to have somebody who has that sort of, maybe not star power or charisma, you just got to be really good-looking to be able to pull off what this double Amnesia character was able to pull off. That's crime of the century. Crime of the century so far in the 70s for me.
The jewel thief? Or the guy who stole the money from the brokerage house last week?
Different categories.
You hate crime on the boat. This is a love crime
on the boat. It is a love crime. It's the worst kind of crime. I'm going to go Rick Nelson.
Okay. I'm actually going with Chet Maxwell, but if I don't pick Chet Maxwell, I'm going with the Doc Patty Duke scenes, because that was like almost like a fourth storyline, right?
Yeah, I agree.
And that's two episodes now that we've seen those two, because you remember Doc was involved a lot in the first Patty Duke story. They have really good chemistry.
They do have really good chemistry.
I would like it if Patty Duke was one of the four Doc ex-wives. That would make me happy.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
They're going to be yet. I hope they're of a quality. But I'll give it to the Doc and Patty Duke combo, especially once I figured out they hooked up in that one scene.
Oh, that's really good. That's really good. I didn't even think about that. Okay.
Walk the Plank, worst of the week, Mike.
Worst of the week. Geez. That's a tough one. It's never tough. It's Captain Steubing. Hands down. That's not even a challenge. I mean,
he just hates him.
I'm going to go back and count these up at the end and see how many he's given it to
Steubing. I don't intentionally set out to label him as the worst of the week.
Drive the boat.
I mean, he doesn't drive. He had two sticks in this episode. He finally
steered something. Something.
Right. Something. He steered something. He didn't steer the ship.
It was probably the laundry room or something. You know.
Who knows? They were like, no, Captain, move those sticks. It didn't do anything. He was more concerned with this. It's Captain Steubing. It is what it is.
Chris, worst of the week.
Oh, I was infuriated with the whole Alex, Ted, Julie thing. Like, that whole plot just ate me up.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I did not like Ted / Alex. Oh.
That's not the first time we've had diametrically opposed winners and losers, but
think that is true.
I think that plot line definitely allows that, right? Like,
oh, yeah, I agree.
There's a lot.
Oh, so irritating.
And like I said, I didn't like the Alex Lily stuff as much as I like the Lily Doc stuff. So
yeah, I agree.
And this is probably the first time I've done this. Saddens me to say, going with Julie. I feel like it was a bad week professionally.
I agree.
I think she got scammed again by that computer guy. And I think it was a bad week personally because she got scammed by that computer guy. Yeah. And if you graph the Julie season, right, she was up here for a while and then she really went on a dip and kind of bottomed out with the priest. But she had been coming back up in recent weeks. And this wasn't great.
Not her best moments.
I'm going to sadly give it to Julie, which I don't like to do. But
that's rough.
But at least she had the same outfit on at the right times this week. So that was
good. Yeah, I do notice that. I watch it like a hawk now.
I think it was a 3-week period of continuity. We haven't had a problem.
It was bad. Yeah, it was really bad.
That's totals and recap.
All right. Anything to plug, sir?
I have nothing to plug.
Nothing to plug.
No, I did do some little interesting research things. If I could say that, please. So, like Gopher, Fred Grandy, I believe is how it's pronounced, worked as a speechwriter for Iowa Representative Wiley Mayne. That's his real name. Before landing the role of Gopher in 1987 and began his own 8-year stint as a member of the United States House of Representatives.
You know why I know that?
That blew me away.
I was catfished by the guy. Of course I know that.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Like,
I forgot.
I was asking hard-hitting follow-up questions. Fred. Oh, fake.
You were House Representative. What?
Yeah. Yeah, he's retired now, I guess.
One thing that made me sad was I looked up about the ship because I was curious. I wanted to know, did they film it on a set? But they filmed it on a real boat. And some of the scenes were filmed during the actual cruise on the Pacific Princess and its sister ship, the Island Princess. Real passengers were often used as extras. I thought that was very cool.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We noticed on the 2-part episode that we did, they definitely did a lot more on the boat stuff. Like you could tell. It was like legitimate backgrounds and stuff. Whereas here, is there even a water shot?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. Well, the back deck shot. The next morning, the back deck where everybody.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But
interesting. All right. Well, I just want to check the mailbag real quick to see if we got any email this week. No email. You can email us at theloveboatproject@gmail.com. You can find us where you find all of your audio podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music. And when you do, if you would, hit that subscribe button for us. That would be wonderful.
Do it.
Also, check us out. We have a Love Boat Project Facebook group. But the king of the mountain here is the Love Boat Project on Instagram. Please, there's reels coming out every other day. Check there for new content. Always. Every day. Do it now.
Don't say that. Not every day.
Not every day. Not every day. I got a little carried away.
Those take a little longer than the emails.
So
check out our merch store.
Merch store. Whoa, slow down. next episode, Mike, episode 20, quite the milestone. We see another MASH cast member. We welcome Alice Cramden to the boat and Spencer for Hire returns.
He's back already?
Another guest star with multiple appearances.
Recycled.
Wow. You know, I love
that's
Robert
a, that's Urich. A low bar to clear. He was not very utilized in that first one. So
I love Robert Urich. He was, he could have been so much more.
I hope he's a boat detective. Plus, I got to hear about you talk about Spencer for Hire for like
an hour. Oh, love it. There's a Kit Hawk. Oh, geez. I love that show. All right. Well, Chris, thank you for being our guest this episode.
Thank you for having me.
Mike, I will see you next time.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody.